I'm Aaron Schachter in for Marco Werman, and this is The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. The U.S. war in Afghanistan has left behind a lot of statistics, many of them very grim. But one positive number jumps out, the number of kids enrolled in school. The U.S. has spent hundreds of millions of dollars over the past decade to build schools in war-torn Afghanistan, and with good results, according to the U.S. Agency for International Development. It says that back in 2002, fewer than a million Afghan children were enrolled in school, none of them girls. Today, USAID says more than 8 million young Afghans are attending schools, including 2.5 million girls. But a recent BuzzFeed article accuses USAID of using inflated enrollment numbers and also of exaggerating the number of schools built with U.S. help that are actually operating right now. Asmat Khan wrote the article. She says she and her team spot-checked more than 50 such schools and found a disturbing reality.
Most of these buildings that we went to resemble abandoned buildings today. So in many cases, roofs were collapsing, there were protruding electrical wires, shattered glass, boarded up windows, broken furniture everywhere. And that was one of the most visceral, immediate things you would see when you got to these schools. But in terms of the education that was happening, or in terms of enrollment and the number of children on the books versus those that were actually attending, we found vast discrepancies.
All these problems that you talk about, was it neglect? Was it an attempt to lie and steal? Or was it just maybe the cost of doing business in a war zone?
Well, a major part of it was overhyping in Washington. You know, I talked to soldiers and I talked to officers who told me that there was this sort of competitiveness to show that your unit was building schools. And that really brings me to the second thing that went wrong, was that it was good intentions that went astray in a society America didn't understand. And you'll see on this story, there's a sort of stunning lead image of the bombed out ruins of a school. That school happened in the edge of this district called Jare. It's this desert area. And it was built in an area that really didn't have much of a local population. And many of the elders I talked to in Kandahar and Jare district told me that they never understood why the school was built there in the first place, that there were other communities where there were like actively children wanting to go to school who needed a place to study that were overlooked. And it turns out that Nahri Karayz, this village, is the home of this notorious commander named Aga Shah, who was really abusive to the local community.
And that's what you're talking about, where U.S. money intended to do good actually did exactly the opposite and helped fund the warlords that the local folks didn't like. The general premise of your story, unfortunately, isn't so shocking, that money was wasted and people made stupid decisions. But what is kind of shocking is the scale that you mention. And I wonder if anyone that you spoke with in the government and USAID, you know, was pretty honest about the fact that, you know, we screwed up.
I actually found military people that I spoke with for this story the most candid. I found USAID less willing to admit lessons learned or wrongdoing and instead to just focus on their efforts now.
What is the takeaway from all this? I mean, what happens now? We spend hundreds of millions of dollars on these buildings, on, you know, I would say in a genuine attempt to make things better. Is anything better?
Well, one of the things that I'm interested in is, you know, are we repeating this? So to what extent were lessons learned? And what mistakes are these apparatuses willing to admit to and really consider as they go forward? And so what I found with, at least among the soldiers I spoke with, many of them felt a dissatisfaction with the way that those funds were used. But with USAID, I found a very aggressive unwillingness to engage on these subjects. And one thing I will say, that USAID is an agency that is so reliant on federal funding that any little mistake can be used against them in Congress and can result in the cutting of their funding. So maybe that's why they weren't willing to acknowledge some of this. But in the more than 6 months that I spent trying to get answers from them, it was something they didn't really want to talk about.
BuzzFeed investigative reporter Asmat Khan. Whatever the overall state of Afghanistan schools, there are individual success stories. Razia John is one of them. She's the founder of a successful girls' school in a village near Kabul. She also has plans now to build a women's college. Her story came to our attention through our colleagues at the Ground Truth Project here at WGBH. Razia John was born in Afghanistan and came to the U.S. in the 1970s to study. When the Soviets invaded, she decided not to return. Then the Taliban took over. It was only after 9/11 and the U.S. invasion that Razia finally went back, and she says she noticed something right away.
What I saw is that everywhere the girls were treated so differently than the boys, among the men and among even the young boys. So I thought that what can I do to really make a difference? And I will tell you something, that these men that I dealt with in the beginning, and to build a school, I went to this village and I would stand there, and all they would tell me that to go inside and sit with their wife and have a cup of tea, and they will take care of it. They couldn't even look at me in the, you know, in my face. When you ask of a man that how many children you have, they will never say that they have girls. They will say, if they had five girls and two sons, they would say two sons.
Really?
But now, with the change of them bringing girls to school, yeah, they're very proud to say, well, I have two sons and four daughters that go to your school.
I've been to Afghanistan several times, and I'm not sure I've ever seen women. You know, I've been there for weeks at a time. I deal with a lot of men. Never really seen women there. And there are incredible scenes of you in the movie about the school.
Absolutely.
As you say, where you're sitting with a group of men and you are the only woman there and you're talking to them.
Correct.
Like you're talking to me. And it must be an incredible shock for them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think they realized, because from the very beginning, they couldn't put me away. I mean, I was there and I told them that, whether you like it or not, I'm going to stand and build this school. And I did. For 8 months, every day I was there, and brick by brick, I would see the school built. And I think we had a lot of struggle in the beginning, and with the people and with men. But eventually, now it's 8 years, and I can see the difference. Those men that never looked in my face, now they are ready to name the village on my name, and it's amazing. And I think they do realize that education is something that the whole family benefits from it.
Now, we just heard a story about how difficult it is to set up schools and build schools, any schools in Afghanistan, because of corruption, because of some sort of old mentality. What is it about your school? Why did your school succeed? Why is it succeeding where all these hundreds of schools elsewhere in Afghanistan did not?
Yes, I think I can give maybe myself a little credit for my determination and something that I really believe, that if we educate these girls, how small number they are, it will make all the difference in their life, in their community, and maybe one day they'll be leaders.
You said you were there for 8 months during construction. How often do you get back there now?
Well, I've been living there for past 7 years, 11 months. And I come to U.S. for about a month, which is 2 weeks in spring and 2 weeks in fall, to do fundraising.
You probably want to stay away from USAID.
I think you cannot blame USAID because, you know, USAID all over the world tries to do the best for the place that they get involved in or the country that needs help. But it is the people that they try to help. If they are thugs and they are warlords and they are, you know, corrupt people, USAID cannot go run after them and watch them. It's just not feasible. It's very unfortunate, and it's all over Middle East. It's just not Afghanistan, it's Iraq, it's everywhere else. And when you have the corrupt government, corrupt people, you can't be success. That's the bottom line, really.
Razia John is the founder of a K through 12 girls' school in a village near Kabul. Her effort to build a college for women in Afghanistan is the subject of a documentary called What Tomorrow Brings, supported by the Ground Truth Project here at WGBH.